Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Good morning, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to show number 43 from Engage for Success. I'm Jo Moffat. I'm your host for this afternoon's show. And for those who haven't heard me before or don't know who I am, I'm MD and founder of the creative communications consultancy Woodread. I'm also a member of the Guru Group of Engage for Success, and since the spring, a part-time host of the Engage for Success blog talk radio show. So at Woodread, we work with a range of clients from leading blue-chip organizations as well as not-for-profit organizations, and we help them use their brands to drive their employee engagement. So what we're thinking here is that the brand inside is as important as the brand outside, and so the whole issue of employee engagement is very close to my heart. So I'm very pleased to have for this afternoon's guest and Wendy Leedham, who's joining us from Engage for Success to talk about Engage for Success 12 months on, because it was 12 months ago that we had the launch of the movement in the autumn of last year. So Wendy is part of the core team at Engage for Success, and I'm delighted to have her with me to talk about what we've been doing in that time and importantly as well where we're going to be going in the future. So welcome, Wendy.
Thank you very much, Jo. I'm delighted to be on the show.
Good. Well, thank you for joining us on this rather bleak Monday afternoon. So before we kind of get into the meat of this afternoon's conversation, I know that you're currently working with the core team of Engage for Success, but you're actually from Lloyds Banking Group, aren't you? So could you just give us a little bit of sort of intro to you and what your background is and how you got involved with the movement?
Yes, of course. I'd be delighted to, Jo. I've got a banking background. I'm 30 years in banking. I'm not a HR professional. My experience has all been out on the boundaries of the business, very close to customers. My last role in Lloyds was looking after a group of 11 branches. We had 100,000 customers, and I had a large team of over 200 people. And we were tasked with delivering our products and services to our customers in the Channel Islands and the Isle of Man. I'm actually based in Jersey. So the opportunity to come and work with Engage for Success as the program director came up probably about 18 months ago now, as Lloyds was sponsoring the role. And this the movement does have very senior sponsorship in Lloyds from our chairman, Sir Wynne Bischoff. Mm-hmm. And I saw this role and thought, my goodness, I've never seen anything like that come up in all my 30 years of working for Lloyds. I have to throw my hat in the ring, and indeed that's exactly what I did. Right. And I was successful through the selection process in getting the role. And, the rest, as they say, is history.
So what does a program director for the core team of Engage for Success do? What does that role mean?
So it's a central sort of liaison role, working with the other secondees and volunteers, who are effectively the doers in the movement. So it's our job to take the strategy and the direction from the task force, which is chaired by David and Nita, and to translate that into actions and execute it. So it is about doing the doing. Very much. Just as an example, we're responsible for looking after the website, that's developing it, that's maintaining it, it's ensuring that it's delivering and working towards our vision for the website, which is to be the number one go-to place for all things engagement, and that it becomes a little bit of a national treasure in a way, that we want it to be a national resource that's free to use for anybody as the go-to place for anything to do with employee engagement. And likewise, with our practitioner program, we've got a huge vision for seeing hundreds of events being held across the UK in regions, in these regions having a life form and an energy force of their own, which is creating more awareness about the importance of employee engagement. And then, people getting together to share their good practice and their experiences so that more people take action.
Right. I was looking actually on the website before the show, just sort of seeing what events we've got coming up, and I noticed that there's a regional practitioners event next Monday, isn't there, in London at PricewaterhouseCoopers.
There is indeed, yes, yes. And I'm proud to say that having last year completed 12 events, very much pilots actually, and we were testing and crafting and perfecting this sort of workshop concept. And we did 12 of them last year. But this year, with a new regional approach where regions, you know, get on and do it themselves, we've had 69 events. So I think there's another one this week as well. And so the one next week will be taking us into the 70s. And it's just terrific how we've seen that momentum grow in the regions as they have started to establish themselves and get more people involved by, you know, talking in their internal networks and their external networks about what Engage for Success does. We've got a huge amount still to do, don't get me wrong, but we've made some great progress.
So just for the benefit of people who might be listening in or more likely downloading the show afterwards, I'm always very conscious of actually just how many people perhaps are not as clued up with some of the language and terminology and what the movement's all about as perhaps those of us who are very closely involved might be. So when you're talking about practitioners, what do you mean by practitioners, Wendy?
Yeah. So these are the people who are practicing engagement. So this could be the line manager, for instance. You know, we know that people view their organization through the lens of their line manager. It's a hugely important role from an engagement perspective. Mm-hmm. So we want people who have teams, who are managers of teams at any level, to get involved as a practitioner in a practitioner event. Likewise, HR professionals who are often tasked with, you know, supporting the business in creating a more engaging workplace will have the challenge of persuading line managers and senior leaders in their own businesses why engagement matters. So we can arm them with some of the materials in order to do that. We also find that people get energy from these events, so it can be quite tough if you're a lone voice in an organization when you're talking about the importance of employee engagement, and sometimes you need to come along and talk to other like-minded people and get a fix of energy and a burst to take back into the business for the next round.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I can imagine. I can see how that would work. So then it becomes a sort of self-fulfilling prophecy, really, doesn't it? So
it does.
So just sort of like going back a step, 12 steps really, 12 months ago, we had the big launch, we had the letter to the Times signed by all the CEOs of the sponsoring organisations, we had the website launch, which I think certainly, as I've been watching that over the last 12 months, the number of hits and the number of visits to that site has just grown phenomenally, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. We're around about 150 visits to the website now. So that's 150,000 in just about 12 months, actually.
Right.
And, you know, that has been achieved. We haven't done any sort of clever tricks to get people to come to the website. That has been actually a natural growth. And what we've seen is particularly over the last 3 months, there's an uptick there in the number of visits month on month. So we do feel that we're starting to get a momentum going in terms of visits to the website. Something else that's really interesting is that 15% of the visits to the website are coming from outside of the UK as well, which I think shows that there's an international awareness of Engage for Success and an interest in what we're trying to do. And that can only enrich us because, you know, we're appealing for content from anybody who's interested in supplying sort of details about how they do engagement. And we want to put that on our website. So, you know, not only will we be benefiting from people who are practitioners and who've got experience to share in the UK, but also outside of the UK as well. So we're very excited about the progress we've made. However, you know, we don't want it to be 150,000. We want it to be 500,000, 1,000,000. You know, these are the sorts of numbers we really need to get to if we're going to make a difference.
Yes. So as you say, you want to be the go-to place for all things to do with employee engagement, really.
Yeah.
So 12, let's go back. 12 months ago, when you launched 12 months ago, where did you expect that you would be now 12 months later? Did you have a vision for what we might talk about if there had even been an idea of a radio show 12 months ago, which clearly there wasn't. But, you know, 12 months ago, where did you hope you would be by now?
I think this is one of those areas where the ambition knows no limits. Mm-hmm. But we're quite messy and unstructured in the way that we work, and I think that's a hallmark of a movement as opposed mm-hmm. to an institution or a corporate where everything is kind of forecasted and planned. We don't manage lots of numbers. We have a very small number of key performance indicators, one of which is the headline we talked about in terms of visits to our website. Mm-hmm. And also we've got something that kind of tempers our activity, which is about resources. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we don't have government money. Our currency is people's energy, people's time, people's expertise. That's what gets things done at Engage for Success. And so, mm-hmm. you know, we are limited by the resources that we have. So, you know, for instance, the core team has been as small as two people in the last mm-hmm. 12 months, and it's right. now up around sort of 10 people. And, right. of course, you can do so much more with 10 people than two. So we have to regulate our activity, and it kind of it runs down the priority page, really. Sometimes we can only focus on number one, number two priority. Sometimes mm-hmm. we can be tackling the top six. So mm-hmm. I think in terms of a very long-winded answer, but in terms of have we got to where we wanted to, then yes, I think we look down the mountain with a sense of satisfaction that we feel we have made progress. Mm-hmm. But also when we look up the mountain, we see that, you know, there's a huge amount still to do. There are a lot of people who don't know about Engage for Success. There are mm-hmm. a lot of people who don't really get the importance of employee engagement. And there are mm-hmm. a lot of people who get it but are struggling with it. Yeah. So, you know, those are the people we've yet still to reach out to. Yeah. So still a huge amount to do.
Mm. So thinking over those last 12 months and when you're sort of partway up the mountain and feeling you've made good progress, but now you can look back down a little bit and see that you've climbed quite a long way. What have been the highlights along that journey, Wendy, so far for you?
Mm. We've had a lot of highlights around our website and how we've reached, you know, different milestones in terms of number of visits, how we have started to understand the way the website is being used. We've started to understand where the pain points are and start to address some of those. So the user experience is enhanced. And these are all kind of disciplines that we are having to develop if we are going to be the number one go-to place. We've got to think of all those aspects. So I think, you know, I think I get a sense of satisfaction in terms of not only what we've achieved with the website, but also our own expertise and sense of awareness of what matters, because none of us in the central team were web curators or specialists in web design at all. You know, these were mm-hmm. new skills that we were developing ourselves, which is mm-hmm. part of the, you know, what is such an enriching experience about being a secondee here, is that you're turning your skills to all different things that you hadn't thought you would ever do. And yes. you get a great sense of satisfaction from doing that. So I think there's a lot of personal satisfaction I would get from, and I speak on behalf of the rest of the team in when I'm saying that. But also I think some of the milestones around our website. Also, I would say our practitioner program, hugely proud that we have close to 70 events already. You know, and the credit for that goes out to our regional ambassadors, people who have got very, very busy day jobs. You know, like yourself, Joe, you find time to do something because it's something that you believe in and you want to do a good thing. And that is exactly what gets things done with us.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean, that is quite a phenomenal achievement, actually, isn't it, to go from mm-hmm. 12 last year to, well, you, as you say, you'll be through the 70 mark imminently, won't you? And that mm-hmm. is, and people have sort of taken the concept on and delivered it, haven't they, which is, I think,
yes,
really
they
part
have.
The
yeah.
ethos of this. It's not a rigid set of do it this way, do it that way. It's a sense of
no.
believing in the importance of something and taking it away and making something with it, really, which I think is
yeah.
really quite interesting.
Well, you know, Joe, I think that's what is a little bit unique about Engage for Success. Well, people like to get involved and actually stay involved because it doesn't feel like anything else that they do. You
yeah.
know, it's an energy-giving thing to be involved in. It's not just another meeting that you have to attend that perhaps drains your energy. You know, people come and get a fix of energy. So we're very mindful not to make this feel too corporate. You know, we want it to be fun, we want it to be energized, and as I say, you know, slightly unstructured and messy, because it needs to have energy and creativity to keep moving.
That's the old Woody Allen quote, isn't it? That sharks need to be keeping moving forward, else they die, and we don't want to have a dead shark on our hands. So, absolutely.
No.
So, but I guess does that sort of unstructuredness and messiness, does that in itself though present some challenges for you? Does it
yes.
make some things harder than perhaps it would if you were in a more rigid corporate type of environment?
I think it probably does, particularly if you've come from a corporate background like I have, working for a large bank, when everything is very structured, everything is very planned, everything is very monitored. But in some ways, it's quite liberating as well, because, you know, it is a little bit, you know, we're not embarrassed to say we kind of make this thing up as we go along, because it really does channel people's creativity and their energy, and I think that's hugely important. As a kind of characteristic to have, and it's a standout thing because there are lots of other good things to get involved in, and if you don't get involved with this, you're getting involved with something else and giving your sort of discretionary time to it. So I think it's a standout feature for us, but it's quite a developmental thing, you know, to sort of take those shackles off. Your normal kind of default is to create spreadsheets for everything and monitor everything and have, you know, risk logs and what have you. And, you know, it does make you stand back and say, you know, is that adding any value? Do we really need to do that? Because a lot of these things can slow down your movement, and that's not what we want. You know, so I think it's been hugely developmental for me, and probably other people in the core team, I think, would agree with that, in terms of giving you a different way of working. And it's practicing what we preach in terms of creating an engaging workplace.
Yes. No, I can see that. So any other great highlights do you feel from the last 12 months, or particular achievements that you and your colleagues can justly feel proud of?
I think one of the things perhaps we don't talk about a lot in terms of our achievement is about the way that we as individuals who get involved get our own development from it. And I look back on some of the terrific secondees who've come and gone from the core team. And, you know, it is something to be proud of, actually, in terms of just how enriching an involvement for a period of time with Engage for Success can be. And, you know, these individuals go back into their organisations. Quite often they're getting promotions to new roles. But always the feedback is, what a great investment that was for our organisation. You know, how much more rounded that individual is, how much more energised they are. And it is a little bit like an MBA in employee engagement, and I don't think you could get that anywhere else, really. So there's definitely a sense of pride and achievement from that.
And are all the core team people from sponsor organisations, Wendy? Is that how it works?
No, we've actually got some people who are volunteers. So they are either self-employed or they're on gardening leave from one role before starting a new role. Or they're, you know, just in between jobs, or they've got time that they want to invest. So there's a mix, really. We've got secondees from some large organisations, and we've got volunteers, and it makes a really exciting dynamic in the team, actually. It's a terrific team.
Excellent. So where now? Where, you know, 12 months in, you've talked about some good numbers in terms of the website growth, and clearly, you know, you've got an ambition for that to become the go-to resource, and you've talked about what's happening with the practitioner events. So what do you see as the priorities now for Engage for Success? Where does it go now?
I'd see what we've got to do is we've still got to get that breakthrough. We did a lot of work earlier this year about kind of direction and what we need to achieve. And, you know, one of the things that we've got to do is to break engagement into the line. And all my colleagues who are HR professionals will be sort of shaking their heads at that, I'm sure, and agreeing with me. You know, it has to be owned in the line. The manager is so important. So I think that's what we've got to get the messages into the line. One of our key objectives is also to bring this topic to the attention of the investor community, mm-hmm. so that investors start to understand how transformational engagement is in terms of performance for an organization, especially when you're looking at something as a long-term investment. So this is about sustainable performance. And what we want is for investors to get this topic and start to ask questions of organizations about how they are performing, how they are prioritizing employee engagement, and to take that into account when they're making an investment decision, because we think it matters and it will make a more rounded investment decision for them. And we have mm-hmm. to get that firmly on their agenda. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the key things we want to do.
How do you think you're going to go about doing that? Have you a plan for that?
Yes, we do. Well, this is actually one of the topics in one of our subgroups. So we've tasked a subgroup to tackle this very thing, mm-hmm. and it's early days for that subgroup. But absolutely, there is a desire, for senior leaders who believe in this, who do prioritize engagement, to be a leading example in mm-hmm. terms of sharing their performance and talking voluntarily about their performance on engagement. And also, it is about informing the investor community, so sharing with them. So, how to interpret engagement data, how to, what does good look like, what questions to ask, that sort of thing. So, we're looking at the other work, because there's some other work already going on in this area, and looking to round that out and make a contribution to it so that investors become more aware of it as well.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I came across something on an American website a couple of months ago now, where there was I'm not quite sure what they were. I couldn't quite get to the bottom of what they were about, what their organization was. But essentially, they were proclaiming themselves to be a publisher, but I think they were more of a sort of investment advisors, actually. And they were advising their readers to invest in companies or funds that themselves then invested in organizations that had high employee engagement scores. So they were using different criteria, US sort of measures, that were saying, look, this organization is consistently delivering high employee engagement scores, therefore they are a good bet for a future investment. And it was quite interesting. So they were doing basically what you're talking about, really, that from an investor community perspective, this is a KPI about a business's performance that actually ought to be taken seriously.
Yes, but absolutely. Yeah, it's a big challenge, but it can only help to raise the profile of employee engagement. And of course, it will meet those two aims: raise the profile and help to shine a light on good practice. And that can only be a good thing. So that's a key part of what we're trying to do as well. Yeah. And we want to raise public awareness of the importance of employee engagement. So I think this is about the people who go to work every day, the 30 million people who go to work every day, of which only 10 million are actively engaged at work. We'd like to hear from all of them, really, and get them engaged in the topic, and maybe some pressure, a bottom-up pressure on organizations to manage in a more engaging way can help as well. So, this is an area that we so far have not created a specific strategy around, due to resourcing, but something that we like looking forward to start to work on, so we can reach out to the employee themselves, as we do with the Get Engaged film, actually. That is very much about the message from the employee to the employer. I want to be engaged at work, so I think we can do a lot more there.
Any other kind of key priorities for the organization or for the movement in the future?
Yeah,
maybe?
Well, of course, one of the things that people get involved in with Engage for Success is about understanding the thinking and as a place to go to engage with like-minded people who've got ideas about how to progress the topic. So I think engagement thinking should be pushed. We should be pushing out the boundaries. And this is why tonight, for instance, we are sponsoring the RSA lecture of Matthew Taylor, the Chief Executive of the Royal Society of Arts, who's talking about citizenship at work this evening, actually, in London. And, you know, that he's a very powerful and influential thinker, and we're really pleased to be involved in that event this evening, which, again, is about thinking, pushing the thinking forward on employee engagement. So I think that's an important part and something we must continue to do.
Yes, interesting. You're expecting quite a good turnout for tonight's event?
I think it is a sellout, actually, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, good. Well, it'd be interesting to hear how that goes.
Yes, and although it's a sellout, Jo, I must just say you can actually, it's going to be streamed live for audio, yes, and also it will be available for playback later on the RSA website. And when those links are available, we'll be sharing those on the Engage for Success website as well.
Oh, good. Lovely. Oh, that's useful to know.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Wendy. Yeah, great. Excellent. So we were talking a little bit earlier about the core team and how some of them are volunteers but some of them actually are like you. They're coming from sponsor organizations. Mm. So why do companies get involved in sponsoring this? What's in it for them?
Well, there's a huge amount. I think first and foremost, the organisations who are supporting us are doing it because they believe in employee engagement, they believe in Engage for Success, and they want to help. But it's definitely not a selfless act. There's a huge amount that an organisation can benefit from as well. And you know, we as I mentioned earlier, we've seen some terrific development even in short spaces of time from secondees who've been working with us and gone back into their organisation and not only been a more developed individual, but have taken a huge amount of resource back into the organisation with them and good practice to help them with their own engagement challenges. So, you know, I think there are a huge amount of benefit for organisations to be getting involved.
Okay.
And I, you know, if there's an ongoing relationship, which with all organisations who've seconded people who have now had secondees returned, they still stay involved with us. So they've still got access to that network for sharing good practice and for tapping into the latest thinking. So it's not something that ends when the secondee goes back into their organisation. It's a continuing thing.
Mm. And is this something that you will, do you anticipate the family of sponsors becoming a one that sort of refreshes itself every so often and that more other companies come in and get involved and new people join the core team? Is that how it's intended to work? Yes. Yes.
And that is happening all the time. You know, there are new organisations getting involved. There's still a lot of people out there who don't know about Engage for Success. So, you know, when we reach out to them and we make contact, we get a great response and they start to get involved. So it is, you know, thankfully we don't get organisations dropping out. We get them getting involved, which is great.
Yeah.
You know, so if anybody out there have individuals, perhaps they're on a talent development program, their future leadership, or, you know, people who have a specific interest in this area, then the ability to practice and develop their leadership qualities and capabilities through getting involved with Engage for Success is huge.
Right. Excellent. Well, I think you're absolutely right in terms of what you were saying, that there's still an awareness issue to be addressed out there, because I do find talking to some of my clients that it's surprising just to what extent some people haven't come across the actual movement. They've absolutely understood and get the whole employee engagement thing, but don't necessarily know that there's this Engage for Success movement or that there's a website there with such a great resource in terms of all the evidence and guidance and four enablers and all of that kind of stuff. So it's still definitely a job to be done, I think, isn't there? So
yes.
Okay, well, we're coming to coming to the end of this afternoon show. As always, we seem to romp through our 30 minutes, and it seems to be time to say goodbye before we've hardly started. So I will take this opportunity, if I may, to say thank you very much, Wendy, for joining us today. Thank you for coming on and celebrating 12 months of Engage for Success. And let's look forward to what's going to be happening over the next 12 months. So thank you very much for joining us. And
thank you, Jo. And
That's a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you
for coming.
Thank you very much. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. And just before we close, I'll just quickly talk about next week's show. Next week we've got Karen Volo of Evolution, who's written a book called Engage, very appropriately, and she includes within that book 5 keys to boost personal engagement and profits. So she'll be on the show next week talking about her book and no doubt sharing some useful experiences and suggestions. So thank you for joining us this afternoon.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.